Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The Apostle John was shown amazing things in the spirit world. He tried to describe his experience in heaven. Given his rudimentary level of technology, we can only venture what John saw in God's throne room. Nothing is beyond God's reach, not even time. The past, present, and future are all available. Like a designer using software to create something in a computer, the Godhead performed a virtual time run and watched it play out. This was necessary due to the fact that angels and humans would have the liberty to love and hate. They would be sentient beings whose choices were not predetermined. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
I praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm happy you're here today. And we are looking at the origin story of Jesus. And we're going to be talking about what happened prior to the creation, what happened in the past, in eternity. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for touching me. Anoint me, Father God, as I share these things right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 12. That is Revelation chapter 12. So let me read to you from the outline. If you search the Bible for a timeline on the history of the earth and the universe, it can only be accomplished by studying the New Testament. It was not possible to lay out a timeline after Jesus revealed that there had been a space war prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. When Jesus was on this earth, he never told the apostles about the space war. They simply did not know that. Most of the apostles died off, and the book of Revelation, they never saw the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation came in, John was in his 90s, and it was about 60 years after the resurrection that the book of Revelation came in. And in this book of Revelation, Jesus brought John into heaven. And the purpose is this, and was, Jesus wanted to lay out information what will happen during the tribulation period. He could not do that when he was on earth, because his disciples, the apostles, were just learning, and he wanted this written down. So I'm going to read to you right now from Revelation 12, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven to cast into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Here Jesus tells us that dragon, that's Satan, the old serpent, he simply was able to take 1/3 of God's holy angels and have them to join him. And then we read from verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels. Notice now it doesn't say there was a battle. A war has many battles in it. and prevailed not, neither was a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devils come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Reading this now, as I was at a seminary, and I had read this, and I realized something had happened before Adam and Eve, and the teaching in the seminary, Bible college, is this is going to happen in the future. They put this in the future. But this is in the past. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read this from verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There were secrets that were kept. And the reason for that is that the devil knew that there was going to try to be a redemption effort. But he didn't know how. The devil couldn't in his mind think that God the Father and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, would pay for the sins of mankind. They couldn't understand that. That was not even on our radar. So when Jesus came to the earth, Satan knew that something was up, and he thought, if I can get Jesus killed, whatever he's going to do is going to destroy it. So he hung himself. If Satan would have known what would happen on the cross, Satan would have told all his following, all the demons, whatever you do, guard Jesus. Make sure that nobody harms him. He has to die of old age. He would have stopped the atonement. He didn't know, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now the Godhead is eternal. They have no beginning or end. There are no other gods in existence. And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 45 as we lay down this track for the record here now. That is the book of Isaiah. And we're going to go to chapter 45. That's Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 5 and 6. This is what God said to the prophet. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded you, or I have created you, so you have not known me. That they may know from the rising sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Now this is blowing our minds because we know most things have a beginning. What God is saying here is simply this. I have existed through eternity. I have always existed. There is no one else beside me. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Period. Now he comes back here in chapter 46 and verse number 9. He repeats it. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, says, but count shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. And then if you look in Hebrews 13:8, that is Hebrews 13:8. Familiar scripture. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Is it important for us to know about the space war? Is it important for us to know that God is eternal, has always existed? And the answer is yes. In my little speech that I had this morning, I told you about World War I, the sinking of the Lusitania, and the involvement in World War I. If the American people, if Congress and the Senate would have known that they were going to put the ship out there to sink it, they would have impeached the president. But they did not know. So people died. If people would have known in 1941 that the president of the United States had set up Pearl Harbor to get into World War II, they would have simply impeached him and said, no way. But we didn't know. And people died. We got the Antichrist coming. And if we do not know and understand what's going to happen when he comes, what he's going to do, it's going to cost us. People are going to take the mark of the beast. People are going to fall away. They're going to be discouraged. So we need to know what happened in the past. We need to know what's going to happen in the future so we can be prepared. Back to the outline here now. God has not revealed everything that took place in eternity past. If you ask me, what did God do forever? We don't know. Does he have other things? We don't know. We are simply told there's a point when our history starts, the creation of this universe. But God has disclosed what took place in the spiritual and physical universe. God has the ability to travel through time. He can see the past, the present, and the future at the same time. Now, let's talk about John. John now lived 1,900 years ago, 1,900 years ago. There were no electricity. There were no airplanes, no cars, no rockets, nothing. Wagons, horses, camels, donkeys, ships, sailing ship, that's it. So here now is a guy coming up into heaven, and he's put into the very throne room of God, which has all types of gadgets. And now John is trying to describe what he cannot understand it is. Look at my outline here. Jesus used parables to teach people about heavenly concepts, putting the doctrine in a story setting made it easier to understand. The apostle John was taken to heaven and shown things he found difficult to describe. Electricity was unknown to John, as was equipment like television and lamps. If you read the story of the crashed UFO that crashed in New Mexico, 47, they had Air Force personnel going in to the craft, and they found things. And one of the things they found something that looked like a pen. And it had a little thing on the back. And they said, what's this? They pushed it down like this, and they suddenly saw a red spot over here. And the spot moved. They said, that's odd. They took the thing and put a spot on a person's skin, and this person screamed out, ah! Because it burned him. They said, we don't know what it is. We never seen anything like it. Well, it took about 2 years or so of reverse engineering, and man discovered the laser. Now, if you see a laser, you say, oh, that's a laser. But that's because we know what it is. Follow me with John now. He is coming up into the heaven. He's standing now in the throne room. He's gazing around the room. He saw a beautiful throne and tried to explain what he saw with earthly items. He could describe the throne. He saw 24 seats with 24 elders, each with a golden crown on their head. He likened his sounds emanating from the throne as thunder, with as loud and rumbling and hurts the eardrums if you're close enough. There were flashes of light from the throne so bright to describe them as lightning. Now, it is impossible to know what did John see. John did not know what electric lights were, and when he saw seven lamps of fire burning from the throne, he stated that these were the seven spirits of God. Jesus did not provide an explanation, so all we can acknowledge is their existence, but not how they function. Look at Revelation 1:4. That's Revelation 1:4. There's certain things we just do not know, and we just got to accept them. That whatever it is, it is. Revelation chapter 1. Let me get to it. That's the first epistle of John. That's not helping me out one bit. Okay. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. I don't know what it is. We have a lot of different denominations that are using that to build all kind of doctrine on it. If you now look in chapter 3, verse number 1, he repeats it. And the angel of the church in Sardis write these things as he that has the seven spirit of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have named that you lived and are dead. And then in 4 or 5, we read this. And out of the throne proceed lightning and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps. Now he describes the lamp this time. All they had was oil lamps at the time of John. A fire burning for the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And then in 5:6, you have the last one. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, on the four beasts, and the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth into all the earth. All we can say is, whatever John saw, Jesus did not explain to him and said that this is what it is. So all we know is, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then we have seven spirits of the Father. How that works, I don't know. We find out when we get upstairs. All we can do is to say, it is there. Now, John tried to describe the floor before the throne. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. In Revelation 15:2, he gave us some more information about the floor. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that have gotten the victory over the beast and over the image, over his mark, and with number his name, stand on a sea of glass, having the harps of God. The only thing I can think of is an acrylic floor, in our terms, LED lights inside, and the thing is lit up. Now, if you look at some of our television program they do, they have sets, they have lights and so on. And they have strobe lights, and they also, I have seen where they have different floors, they put lights on them and so on. So whatever it was beautiful. And now back here to the outline here, John saw some kind of electronic devices with diodes. He called them eyes. He said the shape of one was like a lion, the second looked like a calf, the third like a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Now, what did he see? Who knows? Every creature had six wings. Well, my nephew Charles and his family gave me one of these little helicopters. And I think they gave it to me because they wanted me to have dexterity in my things. So it has a couple of rotors, and it whirls around, and I can go up and down. It's like a drone, a little helicopter drone. So now, why in the world would there be equipment sitting in a throne room having six wings on them that could whirl around? Well, folks, when we get up there, remember this. I'm going to remind you, we might get a tour together. And I'm going to go in and say, you see what? Now, Jesus, tell us, what is this stuff? Each creature had six wings, and they were loaded with eyes or dials. They are active continually. There's a recording emanating from the within stating, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come." Let's read it. Revelation 4, 6 through 8. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, power, for you have created all things, and for their pleasure they are and were created." Why did Jesus bring him into the throne room? I believe that Jesus brought him into the throne room to show the majesty of God the Father. To simply, he must have been dazzled standing in that atmosphere with lights, thundering, floor that he had never seen before. Beautiful throne with all kind of diamonds and stuff on it. And he was just standing there. And Jesus simply said, "I want my people on earth to know that there is a throne room. God is on the throne. It's beautiful. It's beyond what you have. It's in the spirit world, but it's real. And someday, when you die, you're going to come here and be with me. The conclusion I draw from this description is that God is not limited. He has equipment around the throne, which he likes. Man can venture guesses about what's there, but we really don't have a clue as to its purpose. Now, I do know this. When I came to Christ, I thought about heaven was like a ghost area where God was simply doing magic and like this. And when we read in the Bible, we understand that in the spirit world, there are real things. Like we have now, the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It's not a ghost town. It's a real town. It's solid. We're going to walk in there. It's a beautiful thing. Let me just deal with a couple of things here that God is omniscient. God knows the past, the present, and the future all at once. The God is not bound by time as we know it. No one knows how this is accomplished. I don't know how he does it. Now, I am personally in a much better position in 2021 than was a student in 1959, attending engineering college. Now listen, folks, I come from Stone Age. We did not have computers. There were no calculators. All the calculations were carried out with a slide ruler back and forth or by hand. It could take sometimes 2 days to solve one mathematical problem by hand. Drawings took place on the drafting tables, and graphical projection was used to get two dimensions of an object. I had a lot of problem with a graphic projection. I couldn't see it in my mind. That's what I came from. Powerful computers and complex softwares allows us to make this happen virtually today. Thus, a car prototype can be designed in a computer. It exists in the virtual world, but not in the physical world. A designer can interject different virtual scenarios in his project and see how it turns out. Once the designer is happy, all the data is sent to the appropriate place and the virtual concept is made into reality. In order to convey how the God had designed our universe, I'm trying now. I'm living 1,900 years after John. I have seen more technology than John had. So if I'm going to try not to convey to people living today, I will use technology that I know of. I know that our technology is crude compared to heaven. So I'm going to use, in my sermon here, I use a supercomputer, which provided the Godhead to design the creation and watch it play out time-wise. Most likely, it was not a supercomputer. But I cannot describe to you how the God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit would sit down and get things designed into the future. So in order to help us to understand, I'm using a computer. Now we're doing what you call it artificial intelligence. That was unheard of 15, 20 years ago. That's a scary subject. Because if you can create artificial intelligence, place that in some kind of robotic machine, that thing can overtake and do things to us that we don't want to do. This virtual time run that God did stopped at any time and new data could be inserted which move the development in a way favored by the Godhead. When you design, let's say, a car today, the designer has a concept. So there's one person designed the interior, not only designed the engine, someone did the gearbox or the automatic transmission, and then you have one that put it together. So when they do that, they can say, nah, I don't like this, so let's go back, let's put this in. I don't like this, we put this in. They can go back and forth until they are happy. And once they got it set up, print. And now the product is coming up into production. That's how I see the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, was simply going this in the computer and putting things in to see how they would play out. There are some Christians who will object to this line of thinking because they simply say God simply knows all things and therefore does not need to do a time run. I would say this is only true if the creatures of the creation did not have a free will. So I used an example. I used my great nephew, Andrew. And I simply wanted him to do a certain thing. Now, we have agreed that he has a free will. So, I cannot go and say, Andrew, this is what I want you to do, and this is what you're going to do. That's not a free will. So, I got to approach him and simply say, here, this is what I want you to do. And then I have to wait for his response. He says yes, or he says no. If I predetermine that he's going to say yes, he doesn't have a free will. So when God created the angels with a free will, and later man with a free will, we simply had a free will, and then God simply saw in advance how we would use that free will. So he would know that this person would say yes to Christ, this person would say no. We have Esau and Jacob. And God says, I hated Esau from the beginning. I loved Jacob. Well, does that mean that Esau never had a chance? No. God simply had looked into the future. He had seen the decision Esau made. And that's why, before he created him, he knew that this guy would blow it. So he hated him. But Esau had a free will. He couldn't make that decision. There was a time when you came to Christ. I remember this. That God spoke to me and told me, this is your last chance to do what I want you to do. You either do it, I pull the plug. Well, I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to do it. But you had a free will. Some of you waited for years to get saved. You have a free will to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have a free will to be baptized in water. You don't have to be baptized in water to be saved. But if you're not baptized in water, you're disobedient, because Jesus told us to be baptized in water. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and Jesus said, you see what I've done? Now, do the same thing to others. What do churches say? Oh, that was for them. We don't do foot washing. But praise God, I've been doing foot washing over the years. Not all the time, but we do it from time to time. I got a problem. I got to advertise. We're going to have foot washing next week. And next week, I know that I have about 2 people in the congregation. The rest of them stayed home. But people have no problem going to one of these places where they cut your nails and wash your feet. But you go to church and somebody wash your feet. I can't do that. So you got a free will. I can make a choice to go to church. Now, some of you are staying home today. you're watching us, you live in the area, and you got scared to death of COVID-19. So you had a choice. You can be here, or you can be home. It's a choice. Free will. Well, let me wrap this up here on this page number 2 here. If angels and humanity were not going to operate as automatons, that the only way to find out what they would do is to run it in a virtual environment and see how each individual responds. There is no free will if the choices are predetermined. Sometimes in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, gathered around a massive supercomputing throne room out of the third heaven. They wanted to create sentient beings, which means a sentient can perceive that he is alive, he's conscious. And they wanted to create sentient beings that could choose to love them, and this would necessitate endowing this being with a free will, or else they will be robots. So God began to design everything virtually, running a timeline to see how things would turn out. They wanted a physical universe to exist in a spirit world. They called these creatures angels and made them with the ability to operate in a spirit world as well as in the physical world. So, if we go down on page number 3, we would then, I'm going to stop here, and we're going to pick it up here next time. So what I want you to take home with you today from this message is this, that you and I have a free will. Let me pick on Brother Satiris. Now, we are told that we were known before we were created. I want to give you one scripture. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Bonus scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1. And we read this. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So we take Soteris now. His soul and spirit was designed by God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, before the creation of the world. And they simply said, we're going to create this man. We're going to give him these talents. We're going to put them in the time slot of 1930-something. We're going to put them, he's going to be a Greek. And they selected his parents and everything else. And then they did a time run on him. They saw his dad would be murdered when he was 7 years old. They saw that he was going to be a sailor. He was a merchant marine for a number of years on ships traveling in the Atlantic Ocean. They saw in a time run that he would jump the ship in New York and come in to this country as illegal. And then I don't know how he got the legal status, but he's a citizen now. And they knew everything about him. And they knew this, that they couldn't make Soteris accept Christ until in the 1980s. Because he was not ready. He was doing his own thing. Running business, getting married, having children, no time for God. So what did God do? He lost his marriage. He lost his business. He came up a broken man to Sacramento. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, something said, okay, we got him now, we want him. We equipped him. Now, let's put him in the church. He struggled into a church. He was given the gospel, And this time he said, yes, I want to get saved. He could have got saved when he was 7 years old. But he was not ready. God didn't force him and say, Sotiris, an angel coming down and say, Sotiris, here's a sword. Get saved or I will cut your head off. He didn't do that. God wants to come by our own free will. And so this is what I want you to take home with you. You are special. You were designed before the foundation of the world. Everything was handpicked. And then they did a time run on you. And God knows in advance the decisions that you will make, good or bad. Sometimes God will intervene, like with Sotiris. He took away his marriage. He took away his business. He was a broken man. Sometimes we are smart enough to come to God while we're still doing good. That's the easy way. But regardless, we are predestined to be formed to the image of God. So be encouraged. And next week we're going to continue on this message and see what things are happening and what's going to happen in the future. Now you watch me today and you says, man, I never heard anything like this before. I'm not even saved. You want to get in? Easy. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose on the third day, paid for your sins, and that he will save you. And then say, Jesus, come on in. And he will. When we finish here, the screen will change on your computer or your television. Three crosses will come up, but you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Duvall saying, my friend. And then he will take you through this plan of salvation. Do that. Stay with him. Pray with him. Get saved today. And then call us, write us. We would like to know if you accepted Christ, we can encourage you. And to you folks that are watching today, you're saved, you walk up with the Lord, look what I told you in the first message, and simply say, I want to get the Kabbalah book series today. But most of all, take yourself to the throne of God and say, God, I thank you that I made a choice to get saved. You called me. I responded. Thank you for saving my soul in Jesus' name. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today and the assessment of this world that we're living in, or this part of the world. We know that everything has global implications today. And we thank you, Father God, for your word, who it settles all things. And your word says that if it were possible, even the very elect shall be deceived. So that is a stern warning to the believer to pay close attention. And I thank you for the work that went into the writing of those Kabbalah books that Pastor John was talking about. I've read them all. Very beneficial. So I want to lift up the United States of America to you right now. We know that the things that are portrayed are not the things that are happening, or some are and some are not. There is a world of deception out there, and lies and political maneuvers and double crosses, on and on and on the game is played. So thank you for giving us eyes of discernment and perfect peace. I have perfect peace. I thank you for that. For the word says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let us not fall into the trap of the enemy that Republicans should hate Democrats and Democrats should hate Republicans and this kind of stuff, Lord. And that these are our only two alternatives. This is not the case. We have a third alternative, a greater alternative, and that is love your neighbor and walk in the light. So we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And hold all these people in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the third part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled Virtual Time Run. The Apostle John was shown amazing things in the spirit world when he visited heaven. He tried to describe his experience, but given his rudimentary level of technology, we can only surmise what John saw in God's throne room. We only know that God operates at a level of technology far higher than humans. Nothing is beyond God's reach, not even time. The past, present, and future are all available. Like a designer using software to create something virtually, the Godhead performed a virtual time run and then watched it play out. This was necessary due to the fact that angels and humans are not robots. We are sentient with the ability to love and hate. The virtual time run was crucial because while God is omniscient, these created beings would exercise a free will, and it was essential to see how individuals would respond, since there is no liberty if choices are predetermined. The Bible teaches that rebellion is not God's fault. The blame lies with the individual. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1790. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.